Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel, which is a continuation of David's life. Saul is dead, as we heard in the first chapter of this book, and time to move on. Now the testing really begins. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him, David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that you have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead. Also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." But Abner the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over the Jezreelites, and the Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all of Israel. And Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, the servants of David, went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on one side and one on the other side. And Abner and Joab let his young men, Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then they arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin that pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrust his sword into his fellow's side, so they fell down together. Wherefore the place was called Helkath-sath-zurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were the three sons, Zeruiah, Joab, and Abishai, sons of Zeruiah, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as light a foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right nor the left from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take you his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me, therefore wherefore should I smite you to the ground? How should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Howbeit, he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner with the hinder end of his spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, they stood still. And Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Amah that lies before Giah in the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of an hill. Then Abner called Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be in bitterness to the end? How long shall it be then ere you bid the people return from following their brethren? And Joab said, As God liveth, unless you had spoken, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up every one from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, and passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Ishiel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 and 70 men died. And they took up Ishiel and buried him in the sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. Whew. A mouthful. Let's go back to the beginning and see what's going on. Okay, it came to pass after this. What's it saying? What's it talking about? It came to pass after this. You need to see what happened prior to this. Okay? It's tying it back together. Look at the last verse of chapter 1. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? That's not literally what it says. This is what the language says in verse 27. Where the mighty fall, the weapons of war perish. Boy, there's a big difference in that. Where the mighty fall, the weapons of war perish. You know what the mighty is? It's talking about the carnal mind. When that carnal mind falls, guess what? You have no more weapons of war. And he says, after that, now we're talking about when the carnal mind's been dealt with. Okay? There's no more weapons of war. That David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I ascend to one of the cities of Judah? Didn't say any, it should say one. And the Lord said to him, Ascend. And David said, Whither shall I ascend? And he said, To Hebron. Now, what's Hebron represent? No. It's the association or the seat of association. What's it mean? No. Absolutely. We're talking about now. The whole first verse, he kept saying, Go up, come up, come on. Ascend is the word. That's ascend. What's the Spirit always saying to you? Come on up. Ascend on up here. See? This is all spiritual, and he's saying, You're going up to the seat of association. We're talking about going to the highest hill in Jerusalem, which is what? Zion. And guess what happens in Zion? It's a perfect parallel with the Tabernacles feast. True? What's another name for the Feast of Tabernacles? Feast of Oneness. Feast of Ingathering. You hear what I'm saying? So he's saying, okay, now that your weapons of war have been put aside, guess what comes now? Now you can be one with me like Jesus prayed in John 17. Lord, make them one with me as I am one with you. Now you've got a place of association. Now you can relate in the spirit to what's going on because the weapons of war have been done away with. Hello? Remember what he said, you'll beat your swords into plowshares? That's what you're doing here. See, now you're no longer being destructive, but now you're trying to be productive. You're making something to work and cultivate this soil between your ears. You hear what I'm saying? It's no longer destructive, but it's constructive now. Productive. Okay? So David went there, he ascended there, and his two wives. Uh-oh. That's not a good sign. Two wives. Why would we say that's not a real good thing? Still double-minded, still in duality. He went up there, but see, and all this is telling you in your life, like we spoke today, do we get out of everything just because we have come to a place we know there's a place called Tabernacles? See, everybody thinks, now this is what, like in this kingdom message they're spreading all over the world, it's a falsehood. I've stood against the way that they teach it. The message of Tabernacles is very much real. The way it's taught is not. It's people have placed their own ideas into it. And they said, anybody that's hearing us say this, You're part of it. Does that make it true? It makes it true when you walk what you talk. It makes it true when you experience what you're reading and understanding. See, you got to experience it. It's not intellectual, but it's an experiential thing. Once I've heard it intellectually, now I can walk it out, but I have to first hear it intellectually before I'm ever going to begin to experience it. Okay? So anyway, he took up his wives, two of them, Ahinoam, which is my brother is delight, the Jezreelite, which means my father is joy, and Abigail, which means garden land, no, excuse me, Carmelite. Abigail means my father is joy, and Nabal's wife. The word Nabal means fool, okay? Jezreelitis means son of God. I didn't hit that one, did I? Hello? Let me do the verse again. So David went up there and his two wives, and Ahinoam means what? My brother is delight, and she is a Jezreelitess, and Jezreelite means son of God, or son by God. And Abigail means my father is joy. Nabal means fool. The wife of the Carmelite, which is the garden. The fool who was in the garden. Wonder who that might be. It might be that man called Adam, huh? He's the fool in my garden, you know. If he's in there, he's a fool. Because he ain't going to get anything out of me. Okay. And his men. Who would that be? Humanity. Okay. The humanity that were with him. All the people that were David's men, the followers, you could call that first fruit, couldn't you? Every man with his household, everybody that was with David and his whole household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. What is Hebron? The association with what? With the Spirit of God. It's talked about the oneness with God. So he said, everybody that was with David, who is a type of Christ, guess where you're dwelling? Paul said it in the New Covenant and says, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hello, same pattern, same pattern. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed King David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. So he's saying the man of Jabesh-Gilead, and what does Jabesh-Gilead speak of? Dry and rocky region. So that's talking about a place that's very unfruitful, very barren. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9? Let the dead bury the dead. The dry and rocky, let them bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. And so these men were not spiritual men of God. They were heathen. And he said, let them bury the dead. And David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, blessed be ye of the Lord, because you have showed this kindness unto your Lord to Saul and have buried him. Now notice what David said. Blessed be the Lord, because you've showed this kindness unto your Lord, even to Saul, and have buried him. Now, notice what he said. They did a good thing. Didn't say God thing, did he? David still had his emotions running. David was a very emotional man. If you read the life of David and you go through these scriptures and see how many times David was angry, David was emotional in a lot of ways. He wept. He was very emotional at different times. And see, that's just showing you that humanity has all these things inherent in them. Didn't say it was a good thing, did it? Just saying they're there. You got to deal with them. Now, this was a good thing, not a God thing, because you spell God, G-O-D, don't you? And this is G-O-O-D. He did a good thing. And now the Lord show kindness and truth to you, and I also will show, not require, but show you this kindness because you have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and you be strong because your master Saul is dead. Who is your master Saul? Saul was an Edomite, an Adamite, the old order. See, it's come to a place now when your carnal mind has went down. You know, the mighty one has fallen, and now the weapons of war have been put aside. Now you have plowshares and hoes instead of swords and shields. So now, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start to produce things spiritually. That make sense? The Adam side of you is dead. When did that die? Before the foundation of the world, it was already dealt with. But in the natural, we saw Jesus become the last Adam on the cross. So Adam is gone. Saul is dead. See? We don't have to worry about that old order any longer. The rules and regulations of that order have passed. And also the house of Judah. Now tell me, it says the house of Judah has anointed him king over them. Tell me what tribe Jesus was from. Imagine that. It was Jesus' tribe. And Abner, and his name means father of light, the son of Ner, which means the lamp, captain of Saul's host, you know, the Edomite, took Ishbosheth, what does that mean? Man of shame. He took the man of shame, the son of Saul, anything that comes out of the old order of Adam, guess what it is? It's the man of shame. And brought him to where? Mahanaim. You know what Mahanaim means? Two camps. What are we talking about? Duality in the mind again. So this captain of Saul's, who's running his army, doing all his deeds, takes this man of shame, the Edomite, the Adamite, and takes him to a place of what? Duality. Hello? Did anybody ever relate to anything like that? If we let this natural man run, he's going to take you to a place of duality. And made him king over what? And Gilead is what? The rocky region. So the dry, rocky, hard place. Ain't much seed going to grow in them rocks, is there? And over the Asherites, that's the guided ones. And over Jezreel, that's the ones God sows. And over Ephraim, the duality, the double fruitful, double negative or positive either way. And over Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And over all of Israel, all that God rules. You know what Adam tried to do in Isaiah? He said, I will be like the Most High God. He tried to do it. That's the same story we're getting here. We're talking about the Adamite trying to take over, the Edomite. Okay? And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned how long? Well, you know what that represents? It's not time. It represented two realms, Passover and Pentecost. In those two realms, this man of shame is going to rule. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not picking on church realm. That's just the facts. I'm just stating the facts. As long as these two are still living in my life and I'm in those two realms, guess who's ruling my life? It surely isn't the Spirit of God, is it? It's man. It's people under condemnation in Passover and Pentecost. But the house of Judah followed David. So we could say it this way. But the house of Tabernacles followed Christ. Same thing. And the time that David was king in Hebron, in the place of association over the house of Judah, was 7 years and 6 months. What are we saying here? Seven speaks of what? Covenant. Perfection. Covenant. Perfect covenant. And it was over what? 7 years and 6 of man. The covenant was over man. So as long as he had the covenant over man, that's when he ruled. Did Christ ever give up his rule? Not yet. As long as man's still there, he's still ruling. And Abner, what's he again? Father of light, the son of Ner, the lamp, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of shame, the son of Saul, the Edomite, went from where? Mahanaim, the duality, to Gibeon, to a hilly place. Now, He went from bad to worse. He went from in a place in duality, then he went to a rocky place, which there's no possibility of anything in a rocky place, is there? Not much ever going to grow there. You remember, if I can think of the verse now, started to say it and I about lost it. Talks about the man, it's in the Gospels, I think it's in Matthew, he says, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none, says, I'll return to the house from whence I come. And he said he came back and found it clean, swept, and garnished, means there was nothing there. And he said seven other spirits come with him, and the last estate of the man's worse than the first. And that's what it is here. If we go into this duality and we don't come out of this duality, it's not a good thing, is it? For this life, it's not a good thing. It's going to be tough. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and who is Zeruiah? Anybody know who she is? David's sister. Okay, it was David's, King David's sister. So hang on to this, watch this. And Joab, and what's his name mean? Yahweh fathered. What did I tell you? God's his father. God gave birth to this man for his purpose. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and what's her name mean? Balsam, the salve, the healing balm. The servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, right? And what's Gibeon again? Okay, in that rocky place. They sat down on one side of the pool and one on the other side of the pool. Joab, right? Yeah. And Abner and Joab, Abner said to Joab, okay? Abner is a problem, isn't he? Abner is from which order? He's under Saul. He's the Edomite. And he's the one that's the deceptive one here. He's trying to create a problem. He said to Joab, the one God fathered, let the young men arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. And there arose, went over by number, 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. So there was 12 of the old order and 12 of the new. There were 12 tribes, weren't there? Kind of sounds like it, don't it? Ishmael and Isaac. So they went over and had their battle, and he did say Ishmael and Isaac would war forever, didn't he, continually? And it says, in verse 16 says, and they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side so that they fell down together. And therefore the place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. Now it really doesn't leave you a lot of direction right there, does it? And they killed, 12 of them killed the other 12. Did it tell you which one? But you should be able to pick this up, look at it. Let me help you with it. They were 12 of the servants of David, which is Christ, 12 of the servants of Saul, which is the old order. Which one do you think won the battle? Christ won the battle. So it was David's servants that won, okay? Mm-hmm. The wise Proverbs 17:2. And it says here that, what do you think this word Helkaz Hazurim is? The field of swords. So what are swords again? Well, it's battle too. See, it's that battle. And remember it said in verse 27 of chapter 1, the weapons of war perish when the mighty one falls. Right? When Saul fell in battle, guess what? There was a symbolism of him being defeated before the foundation of the world. Is the war? Was the battles over yet? Was there more war after Saul? Sure, because they didn't believe what had happened. As long as we don't believe the battle's over, are we going to continue to fight? As long as we think that there's someone out there that's my enemy, do you think we'll fight? Well, sure. But when we find out there's no enemy out there, they're internal enemies. I take care of the internal enemies. I got no external enemies. See, that's the whole problem, and we're not seeing it. Well, this was a negative place. This was a place of battle where there was death being brought. And the word of God could be placed in there because the word of God is life or death. You know, the power in the tongue, life and death. And there was a very severe battle that day, and Abner was beaten. That's the old order. And the men of Israel before the servants of David. So whose servants survived? Christ's, the first fruit. And there were three sons of Zeruiah. That was David's sister. It speaks of the soul again. There are three sons. Joab, which is fathered by God, you know. Abishai, my father's gift. And Asahel, and he was swift of foot like a wild gazelle. And Asahel means God has made. Well, you know, God made everything, didn't he? And Asahel pursued Abner, and in going he turned not to the right nor the left. What do you think these three sons represent? Huh? It's a Passover and Pentecostal and Tabernacles experience. Now, Yahweh fathered, or fathered of God, I wonder who that might be. No, the other end, Tabernacles. Now, we're born again by the will of who? Book says we're born by God's will, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. There's the Tabernacles. Abishai is the gifts. Wonder what realm that might be. Pentecost. And Asahel is the Passover experience in our life. And it's light of foot, swift. It can be swift or beautiful. As a, didn't say a roe, but a wild roe. The wild nature in humanity. And Asahel pursued Abner in going and turned not to the right nor the left after following Abner. Here's what happens in the Passover experience in our life. We think we're right, and we got a right to kill anybody that isn't believing like we do. Isn't that the truth? We're told there, go out and destroy all these evil, wicked people in the earth. Hello? You should start at home. See? There's where the problem comes, because everybody wants to run out and attack somebody else instead of taking care of their own house. Book says, how can you rule the house of God when you can't rule your own house well? Yep. They're telling him to do something, and he's going to do a good thing instead of a God thing, and he's going to chase after Abner. He's not going to give up, and look what happens to him. Let's go on down. Then Abner looked behind him and saw and said, art thou Asahel? And he answered him, I am. And Abner said to him, turn to the right or the left side, and lay hold on one of the young men and take you his armor, or the spoil or his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following after him. That's one of them fanatical Passover experiences. You ain't giving up no matter what. I got like a pit bull locked on it, and I'm going to get you. Sure. And Abner, verse 22, said to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Why should I smite you to the ground, or why should I kill you? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside before, therefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib. And it does not say that in the language. It says smote him in the belly. Stuck it in his belly, and I guess it'd be under the fifth rib because it's under all his ribs. The belly's under all the ribs, see? It's language, it literally says belly. So he stuck him in the belly, and the spear came out behind him that went all the way through him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, they stood still. What do you think that might represent? How about the cross? Everybody's got to come to a place where your old nature does what? Didn't Paul say in Romans that when he died, you died with him on that cross? We all got to come to the understanding that I died with him on that cross. Yeah. But when I died on that cross, I also resurrected when he come out of that tomb. We all came with him. See, we got to understand it, not just in intellectually, but we got to really experience that in our inner being. Sure would. And Joab and Ashii, that's your other two experiences inside of you, pursued Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammon. Now, look what it says. Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. Why are the two still pursuing after somebody that's a dead order anyway? Huh? They're still in that realm of mixture. See, they still haven't come to the understanding who God really is in them. They're still in duality, aren't they? And they came to the hill of Ammah. Ammah means what? An entrance or a door. Who is the door? They come to the door of Christ. And it says the sun went down when they came there. You come to a place in your life, and this is what he's telling you, when Christ is no longer shining on some of the things you're doing. The scripture says at one time God winked at things, at sin. But now he calls all men to repent or change the way they think. And this is the time where he's calling these two and said, hey, it's time to change the way you think. Your brother's dead. Saul's dead. Now it's time to go on. Okay? That lies before Giah, and that's the fountain or the breaking forth. So they got to come to the door before they can break forth or have that fountain of supply, don't they? By the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. By the way of wilderness. So we're talking about a wilderness. They come to a place in their life where the sun went down. God's no longer giving them light because he's wanting a change in their life. If I'm walking down the road and I have no light, or I have light on this thing, and then all of a sudden the light goes out on this road and I've got to try to find another route, don't I? Could be. Yep, the lamp went out, burned up. But you got to find the way of the light. And guess where it is? You'll find the light within yourself, not external. You're no longer looking at the external things. I know I couldn't understand one time how God, when I first began, how God could see in the darkness, because we can't see in the darkness. It always puzzled me. But, you know, that's just the way my mind was at the time, my thinking. And that's what he's trying to show us through all this. Our mind can progress. If you don't use your mind, what's the purpose of having a mind? There's no purpose, is there? Unless you use this thing. Think about it. So, where am I at? It does provoke you to think. And in this wilderness of Gibeon, this dry, rocky place and out in the wilderness. And you know, I was thinking about this. How hard is it to grasp things in the desert? But even in the natural, think about it. If you're in the desert, it's full of sand, jagged rocks, cactus, scorpion, snakes, coyotes, whatever. All these beasts and things that if you grasp them, do you ever try to grab a handful of sand and pull yourself somewhere? Kind of hard to, like, it's like grasping at the air. You can get a few grains of it, the best you can do, but it won't do you any good. You can't get traction in it. You grab a cactus and punches holes all through you and you bleed. You grab a rock and cut yourself. Reach into rocks and grab a scorpion or a snake or rattlesnake or something or a sidewinder. There's always something in that desert finding a way to kill you, to hurt you. So when you're there, I think it would be very advantageous to learn to use your mind and to think, to be prepared. Would that make sense? You better let go of them things in the desert for sure. Okay, where am I at? And the children of Benjamin, that's the son of the right hand, gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of a hill. Now, they became one and stood on top of not a hill, but one hill, or the first hill is what that word says. Not an hill, but one hill or the first hill. Wonder what hill that might be. Now, Zion. It might be Ophel or Moriah. Yeah. One hill, yeah. It had to be Moriah because Ophel's already gone. Asahel got killed, so he's gone. So it's Moriah and Zion now. So they got to be on Moriah. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Know you not that it will be bitterness to the latter end? How long before you bid the people return from following their brethren? As long as you have not come to the understanding of tabernacles, you'll still pursue your brethren." Do you hear me? Until you come to this understanding that it's okay. When you truly come to tabernacles, you're not going to try to change anybody. You're not going to be angry at somebody because they don't think like you think. You're going to be able to accept what they are and show them by example, not by trying to force the issue, not trying to legislate them being righteous or good. Let them do what they got to do. You can't tell a dog not to bark, can you? You got to let them be who they are, and you be who you be, and everything will be fine because God's going to take care of it because it's His plan. And Joab said, "As God lives, unless you have spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every man from following his brother." Let me read this out of the Living Bible. Go ahead. Go on. There. This is what the Living Bible says. And Abner shouted down to Joab, "Must our swords continue to kill each other forever? How long will it be before you can call off your people from chasing their brothers?" Should we kill each other forever? I don't think so. That's not God's way, is it? Doesn't sound like there's any grace and mercy in those battles. Let them be who God's created them to be. Now, tell me something. Everybody thinks that Adam was a bad guy. True or false? Most people's opinion, Adam was a bad guy. He created all these problems. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. Most people think that. How many people think that Judas Iscariot was a good guy? He done what he was told. He wasn't in charge. He done what he was told. But still everybody thinks he's a bad guy. So why don't we withdraw our hand from judgment on everybody just because they're not walking the way we think is right? Because the way I see is for me. You've got to see for yourself, right? And that's the problem. Everybody's trying to judge for someone else in someone else's life, and if you haven't walked in their shoes, how could you make that decision? Yeah. But I'm saying even in anything in your life, if I haven't walked all the experiences you have walked, how could I really tell you what to do? Even if I could, do I have the right? See? I don't have the right to do that. And that's what's wrong with religion. Everybody thinks that they know better for your life than you and God. And I think it's between you and God. How long are we going to pursue our brothers and kill each other? So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, and neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain or the valley and passed over Jordan. Abner is who? Old order. And he walked through the night in their ignorance, through the plain or the valley, and passed over Jordan. And what is Jordan? Death. They passed away. Remember what he said about the new covenant? If you read the new covenant, I'm going to go to Hebrews and read this. It's cute. Let me read this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, I believe. I'm not mistaken. Yep. I'm going to read the new covenant. Verse 7 says, start with verse 7. "For because if the first covenant had been or existed faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second covenant." Correct? "For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day comes when the Lord, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. Because this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. I will be to them God, and they shall be to me people, my people. And they shall teach not every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Because I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said a new covenant, he has made the first one old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready or nearly disappeared, vanished away. Isn't that what's happening right here? They were vanishing away. The old order, when they stopped the battle, guess what happened? What happened to the old order when the ones going on with Christ, with David, what happened to the old order? They all died. If you don't battle these enemies, guess what? The only life they got is to suck it out of you. So if you continue to battle, where are you putting all your energy? Into the battle. And they're sucking the life out of you. These enemies in your mind have nothing unless you do battle with them. If you do away with your weapons of war, how are they going to battle you? You can't battle and they can't battle you, because if you don't fight, I can put you in the middle of this room by yourself, Steve, and you couldn't fight for nothing. But I can throw any one person in there and there can be a fight. You don't fight good by yourself, do you? We got to learn that. But they passed over Jordan, they died, and went through all Bithron. Now, what's Bithron mean? It's a good one. It means division. They went through all the divisions. How about all the denominations? Been there, done that? I passed through a few of them. Well, it's internal, but I'm saying external is a funny thing there, dear. I'm just putting that in there. But all the experiences in your life, all the things you go through, they passed through all of them. And they came to where? They come to duality. You can pass through and go through all that stuff out there in the world. You can go through all the stuff internally. But until you come out of that realm of warring, guess what? You'll still end up in a place of duality. You'll never get out of that duality if you don't learn to come out of that place somewhere and deal with the problems in your life as internal. And Joab, that's fathered by God, returned from following Abner, the old order. And when he had gathered all the people together, they lacked of David's servants what? You look at that word again, guess what it says? 9. They added that teen on the end of it. Okay? So there was 9 of David's servants that was missing, and who? Now you total them together and tell me what you got. You got the law. The only thing missing when the battle is over is what? The law, the old order. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, when it's all over, it's all said and done, when this battle's over, the law has no bearing on you. I had someone explain something to me one time, or shared a thought with me one time. They went to a funeral. And after they come back to the funeral, they said, this is wonderful. I got a revelation of God. Said, you know, as we drive the streets today after we leave from here, we go out to the corner, what do we got to do out here? Why? There's a stop sign out there that says, and what does that stop sign represent? The law. And guess what? When you go out here today, if you don't stop there and a cop sees you roll through that stop sign, guess what? You got a ticket. So you're still under the what? As long as you live. And this woman said, I just noticed something. This person that died was under the law, very law by all their life, but today they weren't under the law. Because every red light we came to and every stop sign we came to, we went right through it in that hearse. A dead man is not under the law. They can't give him a ticket, can they? And he disobeyed every law. They drove whatever speed they wanted to, went through any intersection they wanted to, and never even stopped. And he said, she got a revelation from that, and we should do the same thing. When we realize that in here we're dead to these laws and rules and regulations, but now we live under the new covenant, the law of love and God, guess what? All that stuff passed away. All the war will be gone in your head. The weapons of war can't be used any longer. You're free. That makes you a dangerous person to other people because they can't make you feel like them. Because misery loves company, doesn't it? They want you to feel just as miserable as them. If they feel bad, they want you to feel bad. You know what? I don't care how many people there are, what they do, I'm not going back into that misery and feeling sorry for myself for where I'm at. Sorry, I'm not going there. I'm going on with God. Forget about all the other stuff. But remember, when you're dead, you're not under the law anymore. We saw this man go through the funeral. No restrictions whatsoever to the law. Okay. Verse 31. But the servants of David... But the servants of David, that's the first fruit, had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men 300 and 80 men that died. What does that say? That's 360. So, if we do it this way, I'll write on the board, make it plainer. There's 300, and let's just underline the 3 because that's what it's pointing to, right? So he killed how many? He got all the realms, didn't he? They all died, and 60. Huh? So he got all 3 realms in humanity. He killed all the humanity in us. How's that? Wasn't he the last Adam? So if he was the last Adam, guess what he did? He slew all that humanity in us. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulchre of his fathers. Now notice this. Even in that Passover experience, Asahel, who was a disobedient, ran after and tried to slay one of his brothers. What'd they do with him? Did they cast him aside? How about the parable of the 90 and 9? I got 99, I'll let that one go. Uh-uh. He never lost a thing. I can see reconciliation right through this message. That even though he died, they took up his body and reclaimed him for God. They took him and buried him in the house of his father, in the sepulchre of his father. And it was where? Bethlehem, the house of bread. And Joab, who was father of God and his men, went all night, and they came to Hebron, right, to the place of association at the break of day. They said it again. When the day star rises, you're going to start to have this association with Christ in your life. But it's going to go all through the night before you come to that association. How long is that night? I don't know. It could be 40 years. It could be 40 days. Jesus was in the desert 40 days. The Jewish nation was in it for 40 years. Which one do you want to be? As close to 40 as I can get on the day side. Does anybody know how many days you're going to be in it? I don't. It's not a number of physical days, I don't think, but it's a period of time somewhere. It's up to you to decide where you're going to be. He chooses our inheritance, but I'm saying... If we choose to hear God, it's going to make our journey shorter. God spoke something to me years ago in a time of turmoil, and he said, your attitude in the test directly correlates to the longevity and severity of the test. So your attitude in this thing determines how long you're going to stay in the desert. You're going to stay there until you learn your lessons, until you give up your rights that you don't have to start with. He said, I'll not share my glory with another man, didn't he? Well, he's not going to share it with you or me. He's going to share it with his man, Christ, within you. We all can have our part of that. But he's not going to share with our humanity his stuff. That's the spiritual stuff. It's not for this world. It's in heavenly places. We can't get it in this living in the flesh realm. And we're going to get it, but we're not going to get it in this realm. We're not going to be walking in the fullness of all that. In the midst of this, until we come to our perfection. And I keep having people ask me, well, when are we going to arrive? Well, Jesus said you must endure until the end. And then they ask me the next question, When's the end? When's your end? How long are you going to wrestle? Till the day star rises? Okay. And that's just the start of it. Just the start of it. Questions?